Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 83, Episode 1 of The Daily Zeitgeist,
yeah!
A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries, and fuck Fox News.
Hate for profit racket.
It's Monday, May 20th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. My squirrel, my squirrel, my squirrel, talking about my squirrel, my squirrel, aka, that squirrel is poison, aka, my squirrel, don't lie to me, tell me where did you sleep? Last night. Those are all courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi Maine, because, quote, you said you wanted to fuck a squirrel today, which apparently I did. I had to be reminded why I said that. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Mr. Gray of the Miles, it's the geist of the Zeit, talking backwards just to make all fucking rhymes work. And the Jack of O'Brien walks today in his Crocs, and he's taunting us all with the of O'Brien.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. That took a lot out of me. I ate a lot of pizza, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, me too.
That took a lot out of me.
We're starting a half hour late.
Yep,
also.
Starting late. And look, pizza for breakfast is the only way to do it.
We have to talk about... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Let's just say shout out to Hannah Soltis. Who else? That Soltis.
Whoa.
Hannah. For that one. Also, Chapman Rice, I see you in my mentions.
What?
We'll get to this. Yes, I've been asking where you were, Chapman.
The princess who was promised?
Yo, the Mad Queen might have to return and burn the shit out of King's Landing right now. I don't know.
Yeah. Sorry we're starting late, guys. Even though you... doesn't mean anything to you, but we were talking about that Game of Thrones twist ending, which we'll get to.
That was just a general reference. We can't talk about Game of Thrones yet.
We can't?
Well, people need their time. You know, in case, you know, some people wake up with our show.
Right.
And I don't want to start them off, you know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah. But I mean, the fact that
the
twist ending was Bran waking up on
9/11. Yeah.
A plane,
oh, no.
And it was all his dream.
Yeah.
and then you pull out from Bran on the plane, and he's in a plane on 9/11?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It felt...
What the fuck?
My first reaction was, okay, they went there.
Right.
And then when I really thought about it, I read some of the fan theories around, I was like, okay, this makes perfect sense.
Right. Miles, your AKA was so appropriate because we are joined by Philadelphia's own, the hilarious comedian, Mr. Blake Wexler.
His squirrel. Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Oh, his squirrel. No. I was just reading to someone else. Please go on. His squirrel.
If you could put, no, I think that was quite enough. Hi. Okay. Thank you for having me.
It's been too long.
That was quite the plot twist.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
heavy-handed,
right?
Yeah, the fact that it was all in Bran's head. Yes, okay.
Yeah, well, I see it now.
And then afterwards, it goes, and that's how you play the Game of Thrones,
right?
Yeah, and then
the guy's like, "Hey, man, you can't sleep on this bus stop."
Right.
And then they wrote hindsight is 9/11, like over black, I thought was odd as well.
Yeah, yeah. That was yeah, a strong.
I don't know who makes
nine
that
plus 11 equals 20. $20 bill, fold that in half on the back, get the, you know, the secret message.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's how all my bills are folded, actually.
Yeah.
Of course.
I know, and I always catch you, you're like, hey, let's hang out, and then you're inevitably trying to fold up different currency from around the world and trying to explain 9/11 to me. I'm like, look, I just came for a beer, my man.
But, yeah, of course. And my hands are shaking because it is, you know, the dexterity of folding those bills over and over and over again. It's very tough.
You'll get to it, though.
I do.
We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, Blake. But first, we're going
to
take our listeners through what we're talking about today. And it actually ties into the twist ending because we're going to talk about the fact that Robert Pattinson is rumored to be the next Batman.
Yeah.
And eagle-eyed fans of Game of Thrones actually paused. And right as the plane is about to go into one of the Twin Towers, you can see Robert Pattinson looking out the window, which is a reference to Remember Me. The Game of Thrones fans.
Oh, wait, that's the ending in it?
Yeah, the twist ending of Remember Me, which I don't feel bad spoiling because...
Well, we've talked about it on the show, but I know you've referenced the movie that suddenly became about 9/11.
But
and I was like, huh?
The very end, the very last shot is him... Like they're intercutting between him and a classroom. In the classroom, they're like, okay, and like, young woman, what's today's date? And she's like, September 11th, 2001. And then cut back to Robert Pattinson waiting to meet somebody, and it pulls back, and he's at the top of the Twin Towers.
Wow. People probably reacted to that in one of two ways, where they're like, I'm loving this movie. Oh my God, what the fuck did you do at the end of it? Or I'm hating this movie. And then they're like, oh, okay, I'm on board.
I think
now,
that
actually.
Was more of,
yeah, I
it
like
was
this
more
now.
Of the latter. Most people were not fans.
Yeah, because it seems like so aggressive. You're like, is this a bit?
Right.
And if so, oh, okay.
Oh, God.
Way to fill your budget. Anyway, what else are we talking about?
Anyways,
that's a long joke.
We're going to mourn Grumpy Cat. We are going to talk about William Barr's interview at the end of last week on Fox News, where he came out as a full Trump stooge. We're going to talk about the fact that there was indeed some juicy shit in the Mueller report that...
It was just missing.
Yeah, we just missed the mainstream media in particular. Marcy Wheeler did not miss it. We're going to talk about QAnoners ruining a children's butterfly fundraiser because they read a little too much into a James Comey tweet. And Rudy now lobbying Ukraine to help do dirt for Trump. Miles is going to tell us all about that. And finally, we're going to talk about the breakout star of Con, who is one Mr. Amel Gibson.
Wow.
And he is in some very, very, it's just so strange.
Very Mel Gibson-y movies?
Very Mel Gibson-y movies. Like, very, if you picked any role from this year's Con for him to play, that would be, like, really just miscast. These would be the ones you'd think, just based on a brief description.
I thought he looks like he'll make a great Buddha.
Right.
So I don't know what you're talking about.
But first, Blake. You know we like to ask our guests, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I recently Googled Fennec Fox Peaceful.
Uh-huh.
And because my girlfriend and I tomorrow are going to a wildlife reserve and they have a Fennec Fox there. And do you know what those are? They're these adorable foxes, really tiny with huge ears. They're so cute.
Oh, yeah.
And the
but
cutest
it's
thing.
It's spelled like Fenwick, right?
I don't believe that's correct.
F-E-N-N-E-C.
But fuck you for... putting me in that position to correct you.
No, no, because I think there's something else I'm thinking of, like in Old England talk.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, that's possible.
Fennec Fox, oh, big ass ears.
It looks like
big
it's been ears. Badly photoshopped.
Yes. Yeah. Very poor. Right. Yeah, it looks like it's been very poorly photoshopped.
Oh, Fennec.
Yeah. But then I saw the Google search results. A lot of people are trying to turn them into pets, which is not good. Right. So that was a bummer.
That always that goes sucks. Well when you're trying to domesticate wild animals.
Yeah. Yeah. There's never any story that comes out of Florida where that doesn't work.
Like with people who are like, I remember lemurs was like another thing, and people were like, do not make a lemur a pet.
Yeah, like, same with like ferrets.
Yeah.
And people are still trying to make it work.
Yeah, and you were saying before we started recording that this is one of those wildlife preserves where you get to hunt the animals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's yeah. crazy.
Because what your next search is, what kind of ammunition to hunt fennec fox? Right,
of course. Exactly. And it's called the least dangerous game wildlife reserve.
The least dangerous
it's very
game. Snails and fennec fox.
They really stack the odds in your favor when you get there.
All of the animals have had their fangs pulled.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Where is this reserve? Is it like an American thing or is it?
They call it no man's land, and no, it's in the middle of the ocean. It's
where's
up
it
near Palmdale, I believe.
Now that I read, it's part of the Sahara. Oh, so this is kind of an exotic thing to even have out here.
I guess so. I guess yeah, Palmdale's they have some kangaroos. It's like a desert terrain, so I guess that's why they could have the fennec fox.
Oh, there's a kangaroo also?
Oh, there's, I believe, two of them.
Is there Holy a wallaby? Shit.
There's a wallaby, buddy.
Wait, I didn't even know that there were kangaroos in these United States.
Oh,
in
they put them United there. States. I'm sorry. No. They put them there.
Like, right.
They
were, yeah. I didn't think they were wild.
Well, but I thought it was only in Australia land.
I thought they needed, like, the toilet water to swirl the other way to properly function.
Is that from The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Well, there was a drought and all the blooming onions that they had actually expired, which is very sad.
So they had to bring them here.
Yeah, nothing to joke about.
I think that was actually an urban legend for a while, was that
the
water,
southern hemisphere, right?
Yeah, the water spins the other way.
Oh, that was my myth, actually. So.
Oh,
so,
shit. Yeah. Well,
let's find a new one.
Blew that one. What is?
Just talk about vaccines.
Mm-hmm. What is something you think is overrated?
I think Postmates is overrated. I'm a caviar guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Postmates is overrated? You're a caviar guy.
I'm a caviar guy.
Meaning you only eat caviar, so everything they bring on Postmates
they won't
is
deliver it.
You.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So you've had some bad experiences with Postmates?
I've had better experiences with caviar. I
How
think they're
often
more.
Do we have problems with Postmates?
Like every time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
To the point where we just don't eat.
Yeah.
My God. You guys look great, by the way. If I say.
I don't know if it's I do eat a lot of the frozen food.
Right, of course.
But wait, why caviar? Is this the selection?
Yeah, the selection is a little bit better. They're more discerning with the stores that they go to. Stores, the restaurants.
So our issue with Postmates, and this is going to sound very like we're living high on the hog, but
of course.
Our issue is
that they don't treat them like employees.
Right. That. Yeah. And then they also always forget about half the food that we ordered. And also, like, bring us the wrong orders, like, almost every single time. It's pretty
wild. Yeah,
but,
you know, that's why I'm like, I'm trying to, you know, you got to deal with the people who bring it. That's fine. I get it. Because usually the restaurant's
necessarily
their
fault.
It's the restaurant fucking up.
Yeah, it's the restaurant fucking up. It's the overall infrastructure of the app, I'm sure.
Right, right.
Anyways, fuck Postmates. What is something you think is underrated?
Having an active passport.
Underrated having an active passport.
I didn't have one for a while, and now that I have one, I feel like more secure and that I could just leave.
At a moment's notice.
At a moment's notice, right. Which I'm sure there's, you know, probably some netting there that I probably won't be able to get through. But yeah, I think that it's just more, I don't know, like you should have one. What if you have to go?
What were you doing prior to this?
Hmm? Oh, I was just keeping it on the down low, trying to sneak through the line. I wasn't doing it in the traditional ways that people get out of the country.
You're only going to places where you could like travel with an ID.
Of course, an IUD, yes. Mm-hmm. But I just don't hear what you're saying.
Oh, an ID.
Yes, not
an
IUD.
Yeah, no, I got an IUD as well.
And moving on.
Is it copper tea? Or?
Of course. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I still just prefer to hire a smuggler to get me in and out of the country.
It's if you cheaper. Have a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, are you going somewhere?
I'm going to go to Nevis with my family. We haven't gone on vacation.
St. Kitts and Nevis?
Yeah, the other. Yeah. Yeah, St. Kitts is.
I just know it always said together is that.
Right, right.
My, it's you know what I mean?
I'm going to Tobago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, just Tobago? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to go to the other
one. Kirk's.
Yeah.
isn't there one that's
Wait,
Turks?
Oh, Turks? I think
Turks
it's
Turks. And Caicos.
Yeah, Turks and Caicos.
I summer in Caicos.
Yeah, but fuck Turks.
Fuck, marry, kill. Yeah. Turks and or Caicos.
When you say Kirk's, I was like, you hanging out with Kirk Cameron?
Yeah.
Going to Kirk's later. Gonna Kirk's. Bible study, man.
Kick it.
We're going to get real bored on his couch.
Going to peel a banana for me and explain why evolution doesn't exist. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
That baby rattlesnakes are more dangerous than big ones. That's not true. A lot of people, the myth is that a baby rattlesnake can't control its venom.
Right, so you get hit with a super venom dose.
Right, but the fact is that adults have, I don't like saying this, they have bigger venom sacs, like S-A-C-S. That's also may not be how you spell it. But
say scrotum.
Thank you. And they, though it is bigger and they can control their venom, the fact that they have so much more.
In the vent scrote?
In the vent scrote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The nom scrote.
They'll still get
it. The venom scrote.
The nom, is it the nom scrote? Is
that I believe.
What we're repeating?
I was just at a reptile preserve.
Cool.
This guy I know in Pacoima runs out of an RV, and that's what he explained to me.
Yeah, that sounds legitimate.
Which is funny because, you know, I first heard that.
Herpetarium? Herpetarium?
I don't know. We just call it Rick's RV with a bunch of snakes in it.
Yeah.
But my high school teacher, my government teacher, I first learned that myth from my teacher. A shout out to Mr. Hernandez, you know what I mean? Got me interested in politics. He was bit by a baby rattlesnake, and that's what I learned two things. First, that myth that he was like, it was a baby. But they give you too much venom. He was screaming.
That's just toxic masculinity.
Yeah, right. He likes to scream. And then also when he told me how much the anti-venom cost at the hospital, he was like, it cost me like thousands of dollars just to get the anti-venom at the thing. And I was like, don't you have health insurance? That was a whole other thing. But it was interesting. It was interesting to find out.
Smart kid.
This whole time, I did not. You literally just changed that for me.
Yeah, because I thought that too.
But is it not true that the snake could, is also true that they might not be able to control their venom output?
That is true. So they're both very dangerous, the bigger ones are still more dangerous. But that is correct that
they got a higher dose.
Correct.
They can unload.
Higher, what was it, Venscrote? Was that?
The Nomscrote.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Higher DPS before playing the division.
Yes.
Two.
Another venom-related myth, because that just made me think of the daddy long legs being the most venomous spider in the world, but it's just that their fangs are too small to break through human skin. They are not venomous at all.
Oh, shit. Wait, people used to say that?
You never heard that?
No.
Oh, yeah, the daddy long legs, you know they're the most poisonous spider. They just can't. They do not have venom sacs to subdue their prey with.
Well, I don't trust any animal that makes you call it daddy.
Yeah, that's always fair.
Now, daddy long legs, on the other hand,
I'm
listening.
Yeah, there are other... One of the other nicknames on this page that I'm finding out they have is the Harvestman.
Oh,
sounds
God.
Fucking terrifying and awesome. That they should have gone with that. Then Zaddy.
Wait, that's the other name for a daddy longlegs? The Harvestman?
There's a Harvestman in our backyard.
Yeah, that sounds like some problematic, like ultra conservative border group.
Right.
Harvestman. You're like,
shit.
There's a Harvestman in the backyard. I'm like, call the cops.
We got to take a different route.
Daddy Longlegs is a hilarious name.
Like, it's
they just
nuts.
Let the funniest person name that spider. Yeah.
It's like, all right. It's one of those things where you say it quickly and it's so in our like vernacular.
Right.
You don't actually think about the individual. It's like Daddy Longlegs. But it's Daddy Long legs.
Either the funniest person or like some jazz musician.
Yeah,
or something.
Who named it?
Jazz musician.
Good for them. Whoever been like, yo, the name stuck, bro.
No,
hey, what's up, Daddy Long Legs?
Damn.
Hey, people, Zeit Gang, please start using Daddy Long Legs more in your day to day conversation to describe somebody, anyone.
Yes.
Oh, here comes Sean Bradley, old Daddy Long
Legs. Daddy Long Legs.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
It was the snake.
Oh, the snake thing.
That was
sorry.
The snake one. Yeah.
Yeah. My bad.
No, it's all great.
All right, guys. Let's talk about.
We got lost. We had such a good time.
I got lost.
We're having so fun.
It's so much fun.
All right. So, what is something from your search history that is revealing?
Okay, let me see. Uh-oh. Now, did you know that the end of today's Game of Thrones episode was
his
a nine?
Polo shirt is on backwards.
Hey, it's the beginning of a long week.
He pops the collar and calls it a turtleneck.
Oh, no, that's not what those, yeah.
Anyway.
Let's talk about Grumpy Cat.
Yes.
True internet legend. Also was doing pretty well for herself.
I think the cat's real name was Tatter Sauce or
Tartar
something.
Sauce.
Tartar Sauce. But without like a R, I thought it was misspelled. Anyway.
What a psycho.
What a monster is this?
It is Jesus. She was a lady.
Oh, cool. 'Twas a lady.
Lady cat.
So Grumpy Cat, everybody knows about this cat. It was like one of the first, I don't know, like very recognizable meme image. Like, not, and I'm not saying I don't know how to spell meme. I'm using meme as an adjective.
Called it meme.
Or if I was Ja Rule, memes.
Memes.
I'm gonna be a meme.
Meme.
Anyway, it was like, you know, everybody knows that bug-eyed cat with the right. cute underbite. And it apparently was making so much money. I remember hearing about this years ago, like in 2013 or 14 was like peak fucking Grumpy Cat.
Yeah.
And allow me to introduce you to the financials of fucking Grumpy Cat.
Sorry, I'm just in my mind doing a flashback to you in 2013, and you've got like all sorts of Grumpy Cat like
all Grumpy Cat
merch
gear
on.
Yeah. Yeah. I have like those weightlifting pants that are like really abstract patterns with all Grumpy Cat faces. So in 2013 and 14 was like peak Grumpy Cat fucking mania. Just to give you an idea,
we know.
In those 2 years, this cat made $99.5 million from an array of products, including best-selling books and a film. Drop the fucking bomb.
What?
Grumpy Cat made almost $100 million in 2 years. So, okay, let's just do some quick maths.
Yeah.
Let's divide that by two, and let's just assume they were all equal. 2013 was 50 mil, and 2014 was 50 mil. Gwyneth Paltrow, you know how much she made? In that year?
How much?
$18 million. So fucking almost tripled
fucking
that
loser.
Shit. Okay? Goop. You know who else made, you know who else Grumpy Cat made more than who's in that? 2014? Cristiano Ronaldo.
Wow.
The soccer player who's one of the most well-paid and highly endorsed athletes on the planet. And this is 2014, Ronaldo. This is not fucking latter-day Juventus, you know, whatever the fuck
right.
that was.
Right.
This is fucking, this is him out here. So, guys, if you have a cat, I mean, start getting licensing deals, please.
Wait, it's sad. The saddest part was that Grumpy Cat gave birth to a litter of like 12 kittens, and they're all fighting over the estate right now. It's very upsetting.
There's no way that cat
That's
was
true?
Able to reproduce. That thing looked Aww. A mess.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't love it?
Oh, I loved
it. There's no way that
I loved her, but
wait,
there's no way.
Are you saying no one would fuck it? Is
no,
that what you're
no,
saying?
No, no, no. Just seems only. Like it was probably not a,
overbred.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or underbred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God was just like, nah.
Again, oh, but just one thing that's really interesting
no
is that the the owner, like, it really changed the life of the owner.
$99 million changed their
definitely
life?
Definitely changed their life. Yeah. She was able to buy a lot of snakes with that money. It says, what she's achieved in such a short time is unimaginable and absolutely mind-blowing. I was able to quit my job as a waitress within days of her first appearance on social media, and the phone simply hasn't stopped ringing since.
Wow.
That's got to be a trip when you're like, here's my cat. I don't know, internet. What do you think? And then your phone is blowing. Like, that you could
so
actually
cool.
say within like within days of that, be like, yeah, I'm not working at this Fuddruckers anymore.
I'm out.
I'm yeah. out. And guess what? I've been drinking from the cheese spigot the whole time after hours.
Man, it really puts the lie to that movie, Ted. Mark Wahlberg would have been way yeah. more successful, I guess.
Oh,
too little, too late.
Yeah. That's insane. What? Like, I'm just trying to picture that person, the owner, is clearly also a business genius because most people, like even like famous singers, don't like in their first 2 years of fame make $99 million.
Yeah.
So, they must have just hooked up with like a great that merchandising
agent,
deal
yeah.
or something.
Whoever the fuck that was,
yeah.
call me up.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. there's no limit to what
I'm also wondering
no.
if.
Your crawfish, I think you can make.
Yeah.
Your happy crawfish.
My pet crawfish.
Yeah.
I'm also wondering if there is something where we are with Gwyneth Paltrow, we're talking about the money that she specifically cleared, whereas with Grumpy Cat, we're talking about the money they generated overall. So, like, Grumpy Cat as industry as opposed to, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow, where we're talking about like the money that she got after taxes or something like that. Because because Grumpy Cat doesn't actually get the money. It's
right.
basically like we're talking about how much money she generated. But anyways, wow. it's not to take anything away from Grumpy Cat. I know
wow.
it sounded like a real...
It sounds like you're trying to
steal from
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Grump.
Okay.
You'd be like, well, we don't know. Well, I mean, how do they look at Gwyneth Paltrow's right. financials from that year? I think she's
look,
doing pretty well.
All I'm saying is my client had
Wait,
a good
your
couple
client?
Years. What? No, Gwyneth. Sorry, okay. I mispronounced.
Also, do you remember the Grumpy Cat movie called Grumpy Cat's Worst Christmas Ever?
Yeah.
Do you remember that trailer, though? I didn't even know it existed. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. That was part of that year, right, when Grumpy Cat made all that money. So it was Grumpy Cat, but voiced by a very famous comedian. Actress.
Comedian, actress.
Lisa Lampanelli.
Aubrey Plaza.
Oh.
Was the voice of Grumpy Cat in that movie.
What?
Yes. So that was the gravitational pull of Grumpy Cat in that time.
Wow.
Just for her. Let that stew a little bit. And if you watch the trailer, you're like, somebody just like cut the check and then run. Like, right. Ran the fuck out of there. Because right. This is not a thing. But hey, get your money. Get your coins.
Rest in peace.
And Robert Pattinson is rumored to be the next The Batman. And I don't hate this. I saw a movie called Lost City of Z a couple years ago that he was really good in. So I'm open to him being a good actor.
Okay. Yeah. Are people pissed off about it?
I don't know.
I mean, he looks
probably.
I feel like people are like, Robert Pattinson.
He's a vampire. He can't be a Batman.
But yeah, check him out in like some of the movies he's been in recently that aren't either Twilight or...
That other one, the 9/11
9/11 twist endings.
More like Beta Man. I don't want that guy saving lives.
Oh, shit.
That's right.
June 25th, 2021 is when it's going to release.
That is probably a comment that was being written as you said that.
What did Matt Reeves direct?
He directed like some of the...
Big Country, Matt Reeves, and that's for Ryan.
That's Bryant Reeves. That's Bryant Reeves.
I think this guy directed some of the Planet of the Apes reboot movies. Hmm. I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And okay, did, Cloverfield, Planet of the Apes, yeah. War for the Planet of the Apes, Let Me In.
And then a movie that was not as successful.
Did Sharif Abdul-Rahim play on that team with Big Country?
I hope so. Yeah.
I have that rookie card.
Of course.
They're worth nothing now. That's part of my brand, too, is all the rookie cards from the 90s of basketball that I've held on to.
Oh, you have to hold on to them. Like, what if?
What if people decide these worthless squares of paper are worth something again?
God, what a bummer.
I had the Derek Coleman draft rookie card.
For like, Syracuse.
It was, like, number one pick. It had him, like, putting the hat on because I don't think he, like, played much his rookie year.
So cool.
Was he drafted to the Nets?
He was the number one pick of the whole draft.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
I was always like, wow, where the fuck did
Welcome to the new show. Dudes talking about old ass basketball cards that y'all don't even remember.
I mean, can we not stop?
I mean, I remember my Stacey Ogmar rookie card.
Yeah, of course. You know Dana Barros.
The Running Rebs.
Right.
Loved them.
Man, Tarkanian, huh?
Tark.
Rest in peace.
Am I right? Did he die?
I think so, but
he is
I'm only
kind of
65%
the grumpy cat
sure.
of humans.
He really was, yeah. The grumpy cat offense that he ran.
And before we go to our first break, Blake, how are you dealing with the Sixers loss?
Oh, wow, y'all going there.
I think I'm dealing with it well.
Okay.
I'm trying to look at the positives that we went to a game 7 and lost at a very weird shot from an even weirder man.
With the weirdest
in the weirdest city ever, Toronto. No.
Toronto.
Yeah, it seems like an amazing city. I'm really optimistic about the future. I think that all the shit talking about Ben Simmons needs to stop. I think he's 22 years old, and this was his second season.
I think it needs to keep up, though, so he, you know.
Yeah, or it's not. Maybe we could be nicer, and then he'll start shooting.
Yeah,
but yeah,
or
I don't
maybe
know.
That.
I saw a t-shirt that just said, it was a photo of Ben Simmons on it, and it just said, shoot a three, you coward.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But gotta love those Philadelphia sports fans.
Exactly.
Nurturing. That's very totally. Nurturing city is what I hear.
Shoot a three, you coward.
It's really easy.
Coward.
But yeah, I think they'll be great next year. They're young. It also helps that like Boston completely fell apart.
Me too.
Yeah,
that was really good. The thing that made me feel okay about the whole thing.
Right.
And yeah, shout out to the Raptors and Bucks playing a great Eastern Conference Finals that I think is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
So
just a couple notes
at all.
On Matt Reeves, the director of the Batman movie, also directed The Pallbearer with Gwyneth Paltrow and David Schwimmer.
I don't know
if you remember that movie?
Yeah, it's one
and
of
also,
my favorites.
I think directed. Never mind. He worked on Under Siege 2. I just don't know in what capacity.
Didn't he direct one that just came out this year that is not doing very well? Called
Avengers.
Avengers Begin.
Avengers Begins.
Game.
Yeah. End Game of Thrones.
I forget what it
was. Nah, that was a title from Daily Zeitgeist. Anyways, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
And we're back, and update, breaking news, Matt Reeves wrote
Under Siege 2, Dark Territory.
Right, Dark Territory. Great movie. What if Under Siege, but on a train? Let's talk about William Barr, guys. It just seems like he's taken off the mask.
The mask has been off,
right?
For sure. But I think he's just trying
full on Trump stooge.
Yeah,
it's not pretty.
I guess under the mask was then what we saw was his face, but there was actually makeup on there, and now he's taking that off.
Right.
And now we're seeing more. And we're like, oh, what?
He
kind
took
of
off
cursed
the mask,
visage
and Trump walked
this
up with one of those makeup wipes and was like, just held it out to him, and then he took it off, and Trump said, "There you are.
There you are.
That's the bar.
There you are, William."
Anyways, he basically says his only issue at this point. He went on Fox News, did an interview, and
interview?
Just, yeah,
I mean, like, yeah, he sat across from somebody and he just got to say whatever the fuck he wanted without any pushback.
There was one question. It was, "How are you?"
Yeah.
And then the rest of the segment was him speaking.
Yeah, he basically said his only issue at this point is basically trying to find out how the witch hunt got started. Doesn't really mention the 180 examples of Russia interacting with the Trump campaign from volume one of the Mueller report, or, you know, the clear evidence of obstruction laid out in volume two, such as, let's move on to the Mueller report.
We should listen to a clip of that where he's, I don't know if he's threatening is the right word, but he's got something for the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear this little soundbite.
Nancy Pelosi, she believes you lied under oath. What do you think of that charge?
Well, I think it's a laughable charge, and I think it's largely being made to try to discredit me, partly because they may be concerned about the outcome of a review of what happened during the election. But obviously, you can look at the face of my testimony and see on its face that there's nothing inaccurate about it.
Yeah.
And Chris Wallace, Fox News' own Chris Wallace, came out, and his analysis of this interview is, yeah, well, he's clearly protecting
the president,
Donald Trump. So that's Fox News' take.
Yeah.
On this.
I mean, I don't know. And when I think of it, it's like, is he saying that they might not like the outcome of a review of the election, meaning that because it won't confirm the facts that we've been seeing as to what happened during the election? Or is he saying, well, I might just find something that will put them in the hot seat.
Right.
How about that?
I think, I mean,
cash
both.
Me outside.
That's how I took it.
Yeah, I think he wants, I think
he's walking that line. He knows how to walk that line.
He likes to imply to Fox News viewers what they all want to believe, that there is like some vast conspiracy that was required to start the Mueller report and not merely 180 examples of Russia interacting with the Trump campaign or very clear instances of obstruction of justice.
Yeah, which we found out about last week a little more.
Yeah, so there was also some juicy shit that the mainstream media was acting like it just broke, that they just found out about this voicemail that Michael Flynn left.
No, it was from one of the president's lawyers, presumably John Dowd, maybe.
Okay.
Who had stepped down. But in the Mueller report, right? So, okay, here's a couple things. You know, the Michael Flynn case is still going on. A judge ordered that a few things be released, some things unredacted, others to be like, I need a public transcript of this thing. So the voicemail transcript was released, but that was already in the Mueller report. But there are things that were unredacted that are pretty much new things, at least from what we've read so far. One is that Flynn or his lawyers were contacted by someone linked to Congress to possibly influence his cooperation. Also, now Congress is caught up in this mess. Maybe Devin Nunes. I don't know. Whoever. I mean, it could be many people.
I think Nancy Pelosi probably.
Probably.
Based on what William Barr just said.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably James Clyburn. And also, number two, that Flynn was around or present for, quote, conversations with senior campaign officials about reaching out to WikiLeaks after the Podesta drops. So they want to take another bite of the WikiLeaks apple when they already knew, okay, they really did some shit. So those are new things we didn't know. But when we go to the voicemail thing, right? A lot of people are like, oh, and this is new, this transcript of this voicemail. And I'll just read you what the voicemail is.
Didn't the Washington Post even say that this is new?
They did say it's new, but a lot of people like Marcy Wheeler and also Quinta Yurichich, who's another journalist, they had been talking about this voicemail for a long time, but it just, I guess for whatever reason, the editors of the mainstream papers or whatever were very focused on, like, I guess this back and forth about, like, we need to subpoena the documents and this and that.
Right.
When there's plenty in there where you don't have to look at the unredacted report to be like, hey.
Right.
Impeach this motherfucker, please.
Yeah.
So this voicemail, right? This is the transcript of the voicemail. This is, as they say, in late November 2017, Flynn began to cooperate with this office, the Mueller office. On November 22nd, Flynn withdrew from a joint defense agreement he had with the president. Okay, we all knew, we all remember that because we're like, ooh.
That's going to be bad
for
him.
Okay, so they're no longer sharing info. Going on. Flynn's counsel told the president's personal counsel and counsel for the White House that Flynn could no longer have confidential communications with the White House or the president. Later that night, the president's personal counsel left a voicemail for Flynn's counsel that said, and this is now the transcript, and there some things have been redacted, but I'm just reading it straight through. I understand your situation, but let me see if I can't state it in starker terms. It wouldn't surprise me if you've gone on to make a deal with the government. If there's information that implicates the president, then we've got a national security issue. So, you know, we need some kind of heads up. Just for the sake of protecting all of our interests, if we can. Remember what we've always said about the president and his feelings toward Flynn, and that still remains.
Toward Flynn.
Excuse you?
Wait, this is a voicemail being left for Flynn?
Yeah, presumably to Flynn's lawyer.
Okay, got it.
To communicate that to Michael Flynn.
Got it.
Basically saying like, hi, I'm the president's lawyer. Look, if you're going to like make it hot, can you let us know maybe slightly ahead of time?
Right.
If not, it will be really chill because, you know, your boy, Orange Shitstain, has your back.
Mm-hmm.
And he will whatever, you know, pardon or whatever the fuck he was trying to dangle in front of him. So, again, this is just like the shit that's been out there. And it's very interesting because a lot of these journalists were saying like, this has been there the whole time.
So right. Weird.
But I guess the other thing, too, is everyone got so caught up in the, well, what the fuck is Barr doing and things like that? Because when you look at these other moments, right, these things that were newly released, those are things that William Barr redacted in the Mueller report.
Oh,
so
really?
These are very clear instances where there was a lot of bullshit happening between the White House and Flynn, but wanted to redact that to for whatever reason. But I guess because technically maybe it was connected to the Flynn case, he had that reason to. But then when you see these details come out, you're like, oh, you're actually intentionally obscuring a lot mm-hmm. of these things that are really the connective tissue.
Right.
Aside from the many things on their face that you could be like, that's not the actions of a person who should be in the White House.
Right. So.
Yeah, you know.
So it sounds like Barr's got this. He's going to get to the bottom of this one way or another.
Yeah,
so
thank
we should
God.
All just sit back.
Let him work.
Let it work.
Let it work.
Trust the process. You know, trust the process.
Got to trust the process. Yeah. Yeah. William Barr blows out his knee.
Suddenly he can't find his shot anymore.
He becomes Attorney General of Florida or of Orlando.
Maybe I'll shoot with my left hand.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
There's been so much.
Let's talk about QAnoners, your honors.
Yeah.
Because they ruined a children's butterfly fundraiser, which I keep saying that like it's a thing. But
it's the sweetest sounding thing on earth.
Children's butterfly fundraiser.
What is cuter than that?
Those three words are already on their own unoffensive.
Right.
And then when you combine them, it creates a trifecta of loveliness.
Just innocence.
Yes.
Just perfect
children's
innocence.
Butterfly fundraiser?
Yeah, a fundraiser for the local schools, by the way. So it
right.
like,
it's not a fundraiser for butterflies that are owned by kids.
Right.
Okay.
It's not.
Right.
Yeah,
I understand now.
Or all those butterflies that people in LA were smashing with their cars when
that was rough. So James Comey, it all started with a tweet from James Comey. He tweeted, hashtag five jobs I've had. One, grocery store clerk. Two, vocal soloist for church weddings. Three, chemist. Four, strike replacement high school teacher.
You mean scab?
Motherfucker.
The fuck was that?
Five, FBI director interrupted. Ha 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 ha.
Starring Angelina Jolie.
Right. So, fairly ordinary tweet.
Relatable guy.
Well, and also, too, this was a thing that was just trending on the internet.
Yes.
The,
so,
the
by the
quote,
way,
hashtag five jobs I've had thing.
Yeah.
Five jobs I've had was not created by James Comey.
No.
It was already trending, and like a politician who, you know, just
can't
wants
create
to,
his own content or
right.
interest.
He's just like, haha, here, me too.
Right.
So, QAnon saw that the tweet was actually a secret message because it contained five jobs I've had actually contains the word five jihad, jihad.
So if you selectively here, look, look at how this person marked up this tweet. So if you say five jobs I've had, they're using the J
five.
From jobs, I from I've, then the had as jihad.
Yes.
Oh, right. Because
five jihads?
But they're skipping the first capital letter.
Yeah, but that's
F.
not the point because
no,
it's
hidden and they're in using,
there.
But they're using all three of the last word, all three letters. But
five
not the
is
first.
Obviously a reference to the how he's going to do five different jihads.
Ah,
right.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So,
I mean, they could have also selectively just circled where it just says fibs.
Right.
But. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so,
well,
so
he actually
first,
didn't have any of those jobs.
So five jihad. Okay.
Okay. Then they looked down the list at the first letter in each name because the way that the FBI and CIA like to send messages is via acrostics.
Yeah.
And
oh,
so,
is that what it's called?
Yeah. Isn't that what when you like spell something out with the first letter? It's like,
I have no, I didn't
I
know
love
that
my
it.
Mom. I.
Oh, right.
That seems right.
Right. Anyways, they saw that it was GVCSF.
So grocery, vocal soloist, chemist,
right.
strike.
And they realized that was obviously a reference to the Grass Valley Charter School Foundation, the fundraising arm of a California school in a small town of 13,000. And then they saw that on May 11th, the Grass Valley Charter School was set to have their Blue Marble Jubilee, which was a butterfly-themed Earth Day fundraiser. That
again,
was,
the cutest thing in the entire
right,
world.
It was to consist of egg carton painting and frolicking.
Like that's actually in the text.
Yeah,
like,
they were like,
there will be frolicking.
There will be frolicking.
Oh my God.
And bins of bird seed for some reason.
But not only that, Jack. What time was the tweet?
So that. So this is the one thing that, I mean, obviously this is... This is Comey sending out a flare to his fellows because it was posted at 8:46 a.m.
And why is that significant?
Wait, what?
That's the time the first plane hit the World Trade Center on 9/11.
Duh.
That's right.
Everybody knows that.
That's
why we have a moment of silence.
I can't even believe why, to just circle selectively all these things and to think that the whatever cryptography the FBI would use or whatever this deep state government, it's that simple that you could just be high and be like, yo, the word jihad is,
yeah.
All right, like, I got to tell the rest of the people.
No, this is what they do instead of getting high.
This gets them high.
Yeah,
this is their drug.
So seeing this irrefutable evidence, the QAnon community immediately began inundating the principal of that school with messages warning that he was going to face a terror attack on that day that was actually a false flag orchestrated by the FBI to take away their guns. And it became so just virulent and like angry that the school had to cancel the event.
God damn it.
Not because they thought there was an actual attack coming, but because they worried QAnon believers would show up and do something terrible.
Just be weird around their kids.
Right.
And be like, oh, don't look at them.
No problem.
But yeah, that ended up sucking for the students because the school was set to raise about $15,000 for the charity and recoup thousands more that they had spent to plan and put on the event. And instead, QAnon, you know, managed to make a public school like lose $15,000 basically.
And also spike the football like they're the fucking heroes.
Right. So they.
You're welcome.
Right.
Essentially.
No, they did. While Grass Valley Charter mourned the loss of needed funds, QAnon believers reveled in a disaster averted. Quote, definitely won't happen now thanks to Anon's decoding abilities, a QAnon follower tweeted smugly of the jihad. Amazing people in this movement.
In this bowel movement, yes. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, like, when the QAnon people called the principal and was, like, trying to explain how they knew, because that, like, description is so funny when it's, like, it said that it was a normal seemingly Monday, but checked his voicemail. He heard from a man identifying himself as a, quote, patriot, alerting Mr. Maddock to, quote, the threat. He was warning us that something was going to happen at our Blue Marble Jubilee School fundraiser and that we should contact the authorities. He kept saying that he is not behind it, but he has a credible source.
A credible source being...
I mean, what? This other dude who circled a bunch of shit on a James Comey tweet?
Yep. That is...
That's credibility.
Man.
But I mean, this is the whole problem. There is a overabundance of information that you can find anything in anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find evidence. So, like, they think that James Comey is sending messages to people to, like, carry out attacks that, were they exposed, would bring the nation, like, crumbling down. And he's sending those via acrostics in public tweets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's sending those plans.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Shout out to QAnon. They have cracked the code. We are going to take a quick break to mutter to ourselves.
Yeah.
And then we'll be right back.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99.
Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
And we're back, and Rudy is back.
Rudy Tomjanovich.
Rudy Tomjanovich is back, baby.
Another Laker coach.
Yeah.
Another Laker coach.
Forgotten dynasty.
I totally forgot he ever coached
Rudy,
the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It
yeah.
happened.
But
we've had them all.
He was a Rockets coach,
he coached
right?
the Rockets to the two championships when Jordan was out of league. It's a bummer that the Rockets never made it to the finals while Jordan was there. I feel like that would have been a great finals.
That would have been really cool.
Who are they beating in the East for those?
Who are they beating in the East to get to the championship?
No, in the champion. Wait,
really
good. Who are they playing in the West?
Oh,
right?
They swept Orlando to win the first one, and then they beat.
That's right.
Who did they beat in the second one? Because they weren't even
Seattle
the best team. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was the finals.
Anyways,
Indiana maybe.
No, I'm trying to think.
I like just derailing the thing because I'm trying to remember what the fuck happened like 20 years ago.
I'm trying to think who made it to the finals from the East to lose.
94. Oh,
Orlando.
It was the Knicks.
Oh, they beat the Knicks?
It was the Knicks in 94. And then in 95, it was...
Orlando.
Orlando. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, swept.
Tony Orlando.
Tony Orlando.
All right. So
Dick Pivetta at the helm. Great guy.
Anyways,
Dick Pivetta's
Rudy
my bowling
Rudy Tomjanovich is a name we know.
Holy shit. I'm so sorry, listeners, that we were trying to get to a real story about
That's
Rudy.
That's on me. I'm
Rudolph
sorry.
Rudolph Giuliani.
No, Rudolph Rudy
This
Giuliani.
Is what happens when you're in the building.
I know,
my ADD goes off the fucking rails. So look, we're looking as if the Mueller report was not enough. We now have the gin goblin himself, Rudy Giuliani, out loud telling the New York Times that he was trying to enlist the help of a foreign government to fuck around with our elections. Now, this is a quote from the article. The president is now sending his personal representative, Rudy Giuliani, to Kiev to meet with the incoming government of Ukraine to demand that the new government begin investigations into Hillary Clinton's campaign, into the origins of the Mueller probe, and finally to target former Vice President Joe Biden. Now, obviously, like the first two make sense. They always want to go after Hillary. Then they want to try and discredit
Wait,
the Steele dossier.
No, they doesn't.
What?
It's still not okay.
He's going to a foreign country and telling
No, I'm saying the targets.
Right.
Of
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Of like, so, you know, because the right is so fixated
right.
on how do we, how can we bring down this? I mean, obviously,
Hillary
it's
Clinton is a retired senior citizen.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. But.
And so is Joe Biden. Let's be real.
Yes.
And a lot of it has to do with, you know, this his son's involvement in a gas company, which already, like, they were saying, like, it needs to be investigated because they were saying that Joe Biden was, like, withholding funds from Ukraine to basically say, if you don't get rid of this prosecutor who's looking into this company that my son is on the board of, then you can kiss your aide goodbye. Now, there's been some investigating into it. For the most part, though, it's not quite adding up.
We're talking about Biden's son?
Yeah, Hunter Biden.
Right.
Which sounds like a fake name, but that's
who
his son's
married
name.
His deceased brother's
Oh,
wife.
He did?
Oh,
or,
I forgot
or
about
dating
that.
Her. Yeah.
Of Bo Biden's?
Yeah.
Wow. What a mess. Anyway.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Oh, you're telling me you wouldn't do the same thing,
it's
Miles?
It's fine.
Man, I don't like. I don't want my shit anywhere near this joke at all.
No, come
well,
on
not
in.
It's not a joke, man.
It's not a joke. I mean, look, I
it's
get
advice.
It. Well, I think also, too, I've seen
it's a guide for living.
I've seen that in, actually, in my real life, too, where there have been, like, someone becomes widowed and then ends up.
No, it does happen.
Yeah,
yeah
it does
and it happens with, like, firemen and, like,
Battlestar
police.
Galactica, I believe that happened.
Did it?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, so when it comes to this story, like, again, it just very clearly was a very blatant story about like, oh, wow, we're really just out here being like, hey, can you just gin something up so I can bring a scandal back and try and make
Giuliani's
that.
He's like, just someone say gin.
Gin story up.
Gin goblin.
Gin, my precious. So what happened was recently, like for the most part, Ukraine has actually cooperated a lot with the Trump administration. Also, when you consider how heavily they rely on support from the United States, like financially, militarily, everything early, it would, like, normally you'd be like, oh, he's really going to extort them to try and get some shit that he can just use as a weapon in the election. However, just like with everything Rudy does, did not go according to plan. Because when he he's been talking up this all this shit about the Bursima Group, which is the gas company, that the current Solicitor General, the lead investigator for the Ukrainian government, basically said, there is not much to this theory at all, like, based on what we know. So we're not even going to hear you on this, because even just as we look at it from where we are, this is a non-story, which is kind of impressive. And also, with an incoming government, that prosecutor is going to probably be replaced anyway. So Rudy doesn't really have any homies over there now. Mm. So nice try, my guy. But I think, again, we just need to keep our eyes on this, because they're really willing to just go anywhere as far as, like, well, go to Ukraine and get something on Joe Biden. Now,
why would a foreign government have any, like, jurisdiction over any of this?
Well, because Bursima Group, it's a Ukrainian company that Hunter Biden was on the board of. Oh. So they were being investigated within Ukraine because they're a Ukrainian company.
Right. But so let's say that this company came up with a fake charges against Hillary Clinton and...
No, not the company. You mean the Ukrainian government?
Yeah, the Ukrainian government.
They would say that, like, in this official investigation by the Ukrainian government, they found evidence of this, which then they would just weaponize into Fox News shit for weeks.
Got it. Months. Okay.
That's the whole point, is enough to say, like, oh, Hunter Biden bailed out by corrupt dad Joe. And you're like, oh, what? We're talking about corrupt... Okay, whatever. You're talking about father-son duos. I mean, really, you know, I don't know where the evidence actually leads to in terms of, like, this narrative. People seem to be saying it doesn't add up. But I think in general, like, this gives you an idea of where the Biden family is in terms of power structures in the world. And if you're the kind of guy who your son can suddenly just go from, you know, I mean, clearly he has a business interest, but, like, just popping up on the board of, like these multinational
weird
gas companies.
Ukrainian business.
Like, those are people that I feel like don't have an actual day-to-day interest in what working people go through. So, again, yeah.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Yeah. You're
obviously heading on your jet to
Ukraine. That was an incredible point that you just made. Yeah.
No, and I think those are the kinds of things that a lot of people will be like, well, see, he wasn't guilty of that. But I'm also like, if we're really talking about having a presidency, an administration that is actually a departure from the sort of kleptocracy, corporatocracy that we've been living under,
that's not it.
Yeah, it's not it. Having someone who can be like, my dad's a vice president and I'm on the board of this, like, Ukrainian gas company. Like, you know, I want people who are like, my son works at GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
He's the manager.
Right.
And he had to break up a fight when the latest Division 2 came out. Another Division 2 reference. I've been playing a lot.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's talk about Khan.
Smooth transition.
The glitz, the glamour.
Genghis.
Cans. Yes, it was a smooth transition, Miles.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
You left me hanging on that GameStop joke that I did.
I laughed at that. That was a good joke.
You were patronizing me.
It was legit.
There you go again.
No, it was so funny. This is the last time I do this.
So, the breakout star of Khan this year is Mel Gibson, you guys.
Wait, what do you mean?
So he's been in comeback mode for a little while now. He was
15 years.
Yeah.
How, though?
He was nominated for an Oscar for directing Hacksaw Ridge, and he starred as Mark Wahlberg's, like, cool dad in Daddy's Home 2. So now three Mel Gibson movies are being shopped at Cannes, and one of them is called Rothschild.
Oh, yes, right.
Now, if you know anything about anti-Semitism, you know that
you can't criticize Israel's foreign policy.
That's right. And done. No, you know that Jewish European family, the Rothschilds, who managed to make a lot of money, and people did not like that a Jewish family made a lot of money. And so figured, well, they must clearly be running the world via some sort of shadowy conspiracy. And it's just a name that sets off alarms in the heads of anybody who is familiar with anti-Semitism. Well, enter the movie Rothschild, made by the guy who made the movie about...
The Passion of the Christ?
No.
Oh.
No, the director is a guy who made like a really critically acclaimed movie about Laurel and Hardy, starring John C. Reilly and Steve Coogan last year. And
there's a movie about, with John C. Reilly and Steve Coogan that I did not know about.
Yeah,
I'm fucking out of the loop.
It was a period piece about Laurel and Hardy, and apparently very good, but nobody watched it because they had a feeling that this director was going to make some bad decisions. Maybe, I don't know.
I think it was Laurel or Yanni, right?
Oh, right. That's right.
That's 100%.
Great ref.
God, I'll see myself out.
Anyways, they have cast Mel Gibson as the patriarch of this family of called the Rothschilds, and it's supposed to be a dark comedy about a wealthy family, but since there's no S, obviously not meant to be the famously wealthy Rothschild family. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a black comedy about like how wealth corrupts, and Mel Gibson is the patriarch who gets back at his greedy and conniving relatives, basically.
Is the character Jewish in the film?
I don't think it is made
explicit.
So
they're just dog whistling by giving the name.
Right.
And then just being like, it's about wealth or control of the media.
Well, my greedy relatives.
Wait a second there, Miles.
Okay, what?
So Gibson's publicist points out that it's clearly not about the Rothschilds because of
There's
that
no S.
missing
right.
S. And it would be embarrassing to suggest otherwise. He wrote, quote, I feel the need to spare you any embarrassment to a journalist who asked about this.
Well, that's kind.
He's like, I feel the need to spare you any embarrassment, as I'm told this film is about a fictional family, hence the name Rothschild, versus the Rothschild family to which you are referring. Completely unrelated to your premise and angle. Hopefully this is helpful to you.
Who wrote the script?
I don't know. A guy
I
named
wonder, yeah, I'm curious
Adolphus?
If like
Adolphus.
Oh no. Good. I wonder if like Mel Gibson was ever like, I'll do it if you change the name.
Huh.
You know, to Rothschild. I mean, also like, what the fuck do they think people are gonna think? It's like having a basketball movie and the character's name is Michael Jordan.
It's like, I don't know who the fuck
this
is about.
There's an M on the end.
Right.
Different than Michael Jordan. This is Jordum.
Right.
So
Michael Jordan.
And it's about this really the legendary basketball player who's an asshole to children.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But
nothing to do with his airness.
We don't know why Michael Jordan objects to the making of this movie.
Or the
don't embarrass yourself.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Yeah. So I feel the need to spare you any embarrassment. This is about Michael Jordan.
Jordum. Very different.
End of questions.
He went to the University of South Carolina.
Yes.
So,
University of North Carolina. All right. So,
North Carolina,
Chapel Hall.
Chapel Hall. so stupid.
Anyways, so like I said, there are three movies that are being shopped at Cannes starring Mel Gibson. There's Rothschild. There is a movie called Fat Man, in which Mel Gibson stars as Santa Claus. And a child who he leaves coal for puts out a hit on him. And then there's a movie in which he plays a cop.
Wait, I'm sorry. Go back. The Fat Man is about someone who put a hit out on Santa?
Yeah.
In which he's Santa?
Yeah.
Wow.
And okay. It's sort of like a R-rated Bad Santa style.
Nothing will be
Oh, and Santa hates Jewish people in that movie as
right.
well. We should mention
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
a
yeah,
key
yeah.
component of the plot.
Oh, God. Yeah.
All right, so he's also co-starring in Force of Nature with Kate Bosworth about a cop who stops a heist during a hurricane. Now, that probably reminds you of Hurricane Heist, which is a movie from the makers of Fast and Furious that came out a couple years ago.
Oh, yes, right.
Arrived and quickly departed.
Like a hurricane.
Yeah, it was not a very, did not make a mark, unlike a hurricane at the box office. It was pretty quickly forgotten. But don't confuse this with that, because this movie is about a cop. It's a little bit more gritty, and it's important to remember a story that we covered way back at the beginning of the Daily Zeitgeist when a hurricane was bearing down on the United States.
Yeah, Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah, where a bunch of racists were making up fake posts about looting, and they basically pretended like they were part of some like crew. They were like, yo, 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 we was, going yeah. to loot this place, son.
It was like what an old, about to retire white geometry teacher who works in like a black community, like his version of how he thinks people of color talk.
Jesus.
Right. So they were making up just basically black criminals who were going to loot during this hurricane so that they could basically, you know, talk about how somebody needed to go in there with guns.
Or, or make sure you have your guns because these people will loot you or whatever.
Right, exactly. So this becomes a thing. Anytime there's a hurricane, there is rumors of looting that get wildly exaggerated by the right-wing media and even more exaggerated by racist people on social media. And in this movie, Mel Gibson stars as a cop who has to stop a heist during a hurricane. So, Jesus.
I mean, who are the thieves?
It's the hurricane. The hurricane is actually trying to take money out of the bank. It's a sentient hurricane with eyes.
Well, then I don't know if it's really, you can compare that. Mm. Oh, is the hurricane black?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, big time.
Hurricane Jamal about to come through. That's how they would write that shit. I mean, Laquisha's a movie, okay? So.
Oh, my God.
Did you guys talk about that?
We did not talk about it. I could not even. It's such a farce on its face.
It's my tweet. If we were going to talk about tweets later, Yasser Lesser, did you see what he did with a Laquisha movie?
No.
He claimed to have directed it and that it was his brainchild, and he did a big Q&A online as to his thought process behind creating Laquisha.
And people really thought it was him.
And a few people started falling for it, where like there was a message board saying, I can't believe the guy who made this movie was black.
Oh, wow.
But it was like messages from, he was like, it was fully funded by Emily Gordon, and I want to thank her for paying for the entire movie.
For people,
it's amazing. Go look, follow Yasser Lesser. It's one of the funniest tweet threads I've ever seen.
And also, I guess we should talk about Laquisha. I mean, since we're here already.
Yeah.
Yes.
What else do we have? Laquisha is a film. If you were not aware, if you don't go on social media a lot or, you know, you get most of your news from us, I'm sorry. But Laquisha is this film about this struggling man who happens to be white. And his
not a major plot point, by the way.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay, so brace yourself. Tell me if you've heard this. It's about a white father whose son needs money for school, and he's going to do anything to get this money because his child is very gifted, but he cannot afford it.
But he's struggling with this new marketplace where white men can't catch a break.
Yeah, and he's trying to do, you know, he's got a voice for radio. He's done a couple auditions.
He's got a face for radio, too, if you ask me. Thank you.
Wow, that was multiple.
Woo!
That was a strafing run.
Yeah.
So in this film, he's like, there's a moment where I think he auditions for like this radio gig, and the guy's like, look, man, I'm sorry. It's like,
you're the best guy for the job, right. But I can't give it to you, man.
It's got
to
be a woman of color, probably, or some shit like
that. Yeah, yeah, basically.
And then, the racist light bulb goes off. Then he assumes this, he creates this character of Laquisha, a black woman who gives advice in her radio call-in show, and it's basically this white guy doing this mammy voice,
right?
And giving people fucking, and it becomes a hit. And so the conflict is, how does he? The show becomes more popular, but people want to see Laquisha, but Laquisha happens just to be Brian or whatever the fuck this guy's name is, and that's the plot. So everybody was just could not believe like who this was for, and I think Lacey Mosley had a really good tweet about it. She's like, this actually proves the reverse, that this mediocre white guy could make a movie about a mediocre white guy and still have it made.
That's great.
So in it, where's the lesson? Right. Also, like, who the fuck greenlit this shit? Or it must be funded by, like, the Waltons or some shit.
The opposite, by the way, is true. The opposite. So, you know, they've shown that people who have, quote, like, ethnic names or, you know, names that suggest that you are a person of color are less likely to get called for job interviews. And meanwhile, minorities who whiten job resumes get more interviews. So the exact opposite of this is true. And this is just a dog whistle to racists by a racist to enter the culture war, basically.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're in the dominant culture, when equality begins to creep up, it might, I guess to some people, feels like things are taken away from you.
Right.
Mm. Which is completely what is happening.
What the fuck do you mean we'll only be born on second?
Yeah.
My father was born on third. His father was born on third.
My mother was born in the dugout.
Right. Anyways, Blake, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
The pleasure has been all mine.
Where can people find you?
at Blake Wexler on social media, and then May 23rd, You Dirty Snitch with Blake Wexler, live show at the Dynasty Typewriter Theater, 10 p.m. Christine Medrano, Teresa Lee, Todd Glass, a bunch of other Daily Zeitgeist friends, family will be on it.
That's the show you try to get Jack and I to do, right?
Yeah.
And we don't have any, we don't have weird conflicts.
Have
and
dirt
I felt
which
bad. Is I was great. Like, I don't have dirt on this dude.
It's a show where you talk about times that you ratted out the other person and your working relationship is too good for you to be on the show, apparently. Yeah. But yeah, I appreciate you guys thinking about it though.
I still think about it and I was like, I felt bad. I was like, damn, I would do it. But I was like, I don't know anything about Jack.
No, thank you for being honest. That's sweet.
Or, I keep my friends close and my enemies closer. You know what I'm
saying? I hear you.
So
I
which one am I?
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't clear, I guess.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. Either way, I don't know.
You're at least a friend.
Right there. and is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yeah, it was that. It's this thread with Yasser about the LaQuisha movie, actually, where he's answering all these questions as if he directed it. So just go to at Yasser Lester, and there's a whole. I can't even pick one because there's like 40 tweets, and it's amazing.
All right, Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A couple of tweets I like. One is from Brain Emo at Gay Horny. It says, my friend is getting sued by a member of the Shins because her stripper name is the same as his daughter's, which he's trying to copyright to build a baby lifestyle brand around. Hashtag fuck indie rock.
Wait, that's true?
I don't know. It could be.
I don't know if it matters.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. And then the next thing just says, anyway, I think they're just trying to scare her into forfeiting her Instagram handle, which they want, but not enough to purchase from her, apparently. So, oh, that's what it is, I guess. I guess that's what's happening is, now that I read that, it must have been that the one of the dudes from the Shins wanted this handle for his baby's lifestyle brand. This dancer has it and is trying to get her to come up off the handle. Please do not give in.
I've had great experiences with indie rock people, but it sounds like the Shins suck.
Oh, man. and I have another tweet from Blaine Capatch. Blaine, at Blaine Capatch. Ben Shapiro says, the clitoris is located in a different place on every woman.
That is so funny.
Ben. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Soren Bowie tweeted, I'm so upset seeing people shame others on here for not washing their legs in the shower. You don't have to wash your legs. They are self-cleaning. So are your arms and hair and butthole. Showers cause deafness that travels through water. Read a book. and then this one's actually really dope. Megan Amran tweeted the beautiful dedication in Gloria Steinem's new book, My Life on the Road. Thank you, Gloria. It says, this book is dedicated to Dr. John Sharp of London, who in 1957, a decade before physicians in England could legally perform an abortion for any reason other than the health of a woman, took the considerable risk of referring for an abortion a 22-year-old American on her way to India. Knowing only that she had broken an engagement at home to seek an unknown fate, he said, you must promise me two things. First, you will not tell anyone my name. Second, you will do what you want to do with your life. Dear Dr. Sharp, I believe you, who knew the law was unjust, would not mind if I say this so long after your death. I've done the best I could with my life. This book is for you.
Damn.
Yeah, that's fucking dope. And fuck Alabama, I guess.
Well, fuck all the gerrymandering that led to all this kind of shit. It's not just Alabama, but you know, we'll get into that tomorrow, probably.
Yeah, not fuck the people of Alabama.
Nah, there's some good people out there.
Oh, and also I really liked Shen the Bird's tweet. Variety tweeted, Robert Pattinson to play the Batman for Matt Reeves and Warner Brothers, and Shen the Bird tweeted, cast Taylor Lautner as Catwoman, you cowards. you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
I can't get enough of Swami Million. Last week, we went on Chocolato. Okay, and then I kept listening to the album, and another banger came betwixt my ears.
Came that's, betwixt your
that
ears.
Seems weird.
No, it was perfect.
Yeah, we'll keep that.
Yeah,
we can't edit that out because
it won't let us.
That's me paying That's me paying my tuition to the School of Experience on Mike. Now, this song is called Cafe, C-A-F-F-E. And again, just a really dope chopped up beat. The drums are a little off, but it gives it that flavor. It's live. Then there's like a good vocal sample. I'm just liking this. If you like beat maker type stuff, you will like this too. And just loop this. If you go to the gym, it's a really short track. But I mean, like, imagine this is a trailer to your life and you will get fucking pumped up.
I mean, in a way, a good song does come between your ears.
Yeah.
It makes your brain have little happiness feeling orgasms.
Like in I Like the Way You Move. I mean, Big Boy says that, right?
Yeah.
Coming straight into your memory banks.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what does he say? Wait, hold on.
You big sphinx. Is that the next line?
No.
You big sphinx.
You big sphinx.
You big ol'.
He goes, now.
Big boy's always saying things like, you big ol' sphinx.
The line is when he's like, now that's for anyone asking. Give me one, pass him. Drip, drip, drop. There goes an eargasm.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Now you're
coming out the side of your face. We travel right into your memory bank.
You big sphinx.
You big sphinx.
You big sphinx. Slam dunk it, flip it. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you then.
Bye!
Something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.